And a very good morning to you. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 4341-790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, which is 266-4862. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is taking care of things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host, and we go until 1:30 today again. A tale, I suppose, of two cities. Yesterday, there was two WhatsApp messages that I wanted to share and didn't get an opportunity to because there were contrasting messages. One said, many of us, wanted a change of government, and that we got. We expect changes to come with that, too. I've been trying to call the NIS and the Ministry of Education all morning, and it's the same old story. No one picks up the phone or extensions. Can we see some change here? Now, that was one WhatsApp message. The other one said, good morning. I am here to sing the praises of Ms. Worrell from the Licensing Authority, whom I had the pleasure of speaking to this morning, and I will hope that we have more of these people to deal with the public in the public or private sector. Let me say that I've had the opportunity to interact with folks at the Licensing Authority. And while there were customers complaining about going from one building to the other and the wait, what I noticed was the attitude of the staff to assist those there, including even the security guards, who did their best to ensure that whatever the inconvenience the public felt they were experiencing, that they tried to explain and walk them through it. So you have, on the one hand, people who complain that in some government agencies, you still don't have the type of response you would like, while in others, people are singing the praises of those who work there. And it reminded me of something that happened in 2008, and then that happened yesterday as well. Back in 2008, I had a chance to talk to a new minister of the then government, and I asked them how things were going, and they said to me, boy, you got to get accustomed to these things. And I said, like what? So, well, for example, if I asked for Dennis Johnson's file, I may be told it's somewhere else and I will get it for you. And depending on the type of relationship I had with the person, whoever that person that they asked, I would then be told the file is at X and X has gone on vacation and you'll have to wait on them to come back. So that's a 2-week wait. In the meantime, Dennis Johnson's upset. Then when the person comes back from vacation, I'll be told, oh, they sent it. And I'm not sure where they sent it because they may send it to that one before it gets to me 2 months later because the person don't like me and they frustrated me. Now, that was back in 2008. Yesterday, I had a chat with a new minister and I asked, you know, how things are going. I was told, boy, the way things are. You know, sometimes you ask for a file, it takes 2 days, and when it gets to you, pieces missing. And I wondered, why in 2018 we still have to bring physical files? Yeah, there should be physical files for backup, I suppose, when people sign documents. But couldn't we have electronic files where, you know, a minister with the correct password and the correct authorization could see a file, whether it's, you know, my file or anybody else's file that he wants to deal with? And then the paperwork would be a backup. Are we moving in that direction, or, you know, do we still have these frustrations where people saying, I have to go there, then I got to go back, and I got to go back? I noticed the Immigration Department is saying you can make appointments online. So hopefully we're heading in that direction. But I just thought I'd put that on the table as the various arms of government, because I saw interesting photographs in today's newspaper of the Minister of Transport and Works, the Minister in the Ministry, the Chairman of the Board, and even the Chairman of the Transport Authority touring the bus stand, seeing firsthand what's taking place there. I didn't see a picture of Mr. Pedo, so apparently he missed the tour. Or perhaps I'll hear from him as we take our calls on this, the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Good morning?
Yes, sir, good morning.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm hearing echo. Mr. Johnson, how are you?
I am good, and you?
Not too bad. A couple of things here. Mr. Commission said already yesterday that we are not open to, I think it was a bit scary, cold countries. We invited people with skills to come to Barbados and be part of Barbados' productive sector, skilled workers. But you know that there's a shortage of nurses in Barbados. Mr. Johnson, can you explain to me what are the skilled workers at the present time? Are the fact that our economy is in a terrible state that we could be looking for right now?
Sir, I don't know. I saw in the newspaper today that Fairmont Hotels asking for a work permit for a food and beverage manager, I think it is, director of food and beverage. I have seen from time to time work permits being asked for various, I think there were the Red Cross needed too. So I am not sure what are all the opportunities that we don't have people in Barbados skilled enough to do it. From time to time, there is this talk that we should have an audit of the needs of the private and public sector so that our students could channel their way, but I don't know if it's ever done. I don't know.
I saw an advertisement some years ago in paper for a sports coordinator. You should be able to speak French, Russian, Portuguese, Italian.
I saw it too.
It's obvious that Barbados will never get that job.
That's why you pay attention to it, because one of the first jobs I got when I left the banking industry was a sports coordinator. It was interesting when I have seen requests for nannies, live-in housekeepers, even grass superintendents, and apparently we don't have those skills. Now, when the Hilton was being redone, I think we wanted people who could affix tiles on the outside of a building, and we brought in skilled people to do it. It is not so much a matter of bringing in people, but I remember going back to the 1966 days, what was then said was that when people come in, the hotels, if they were the hotels bringing the people in, that it would allow Bajans the opportunity to be trained so that they could replace the people who are being brought in. So if you have that type of relationship where you say, okay, we need a specialist in vitro fertilization or whatever, and we don't have it in Barbados, we can bring in somebody for a period of 3 years while somebody trains, if it takes 3 years to train somebody to do that type of job. If you have that type of transfer of skills, you could only improve your skill set. But if you bring in people and then they go back and you bring in somebody else, and they go back and you bring in somebody else, then you'll never have the opportunity for your nationals to be able to be trained in whatever field it is and be able to be self-sufficient in that field. So I think we have to take a really serious look at what we talk about when we talk about the transfer of skills and how we do it.
That's why, Mr. Johnson, is the land that Mr. Coggins has given Ryan Braffitt. I think really, whenever he gets his papers for that land, he should consider selling it. I don't know if he get the high price for that spot of land on the market.
But in today's market, why shouldn't consider just working it? I don't know.
It's a good land to catch your land.
Yeah.
Regular land.
Yeah.
But your suggestion would be to work it there.
I don't know. I don't know. But you see, you have to admit that the real estate market today is not what it was 10 years ago. The prices have changed over the years.
That's right.
So, I don't know.
Why do you think Hepsil is called why get rid of Hepsil?
Maybe because it's not at the moment. I don't know. Good for profit. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe the profit levels, they're not selling as fast as they used to.
Okay. Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, sir. Brass Tacks, the Wednesday edition. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. I'm listening to you. Morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning to VOB.
Morning, sir.
The staff and everyone at the office. I was very pleased yesterday to hear the Minister of Transport plus Mr. Nichols, the chairman, speaking on behalf of the buses. But I just want to let Mr. Nichols know we have been waiting for 10 years listening about it. And they say that they went to England and they got some kind of problems. But why not try Holland? We got to shop around. Because, remember, that is one of the things that have us here today. Mr. Nicholas, my friend, but I tell you, that is the same key that, like all the rest of birds, and I want it tightened up. I just want it tightened up. I want to thank him, but work on it. Any of those stops, Connell Town, Martin Bay, got the ends and stand up. And when you see a bus come, see how you feel, Bathsheba. It's hard. Let me get this here, dude. Let me, I want to see it before he left this earth. I thank you very much.
Thank you as well, sir. 434-1790, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello.
Morning to you.
Morning, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, Missy. Okay, good. I didn't hear you open your opening remarks, but I got to tell anything.
Okay.
Well, I take it that you were examining very closely this freedom of movement.
No, I wasn't at all, sir. That was not my opening remarks. I was having a conversation with a gentleman. He asked me about a comment on freedom of movement. I didn't start talking about that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Tell me.
Good. Well, let me give my spin on it. I think it's the most reckless and retrograde piece of legislation that we could introduce. It has a lot of, in my opinion, potentially dangerous situations that can occur as a result of that. We don't have any hope for that working in the same way that the architects of such a legislation imagine it for. And that is my greatest concern. The playing field is not level. Of course, the CARICOM archipelago for such things to happen. I thought that people would sit down and build their countries up to a position where, if you move laterally across the Caribbean, that you can be certain that you will not be displacing anybody, or that you will find something to do. There's no guarantee that you're going to find something to do. You're going to come and you're going to wander about the place aimlessly. And that is what I'm concerned about. In other words, Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
I think there's a minefield of danger for all Caribbean countries, not only Barbados. And that's going to do, I'm not xenophobic. I'm just asking that people examine it quickly. It seems to be a rush piece of legislation.
So which legislation are you speaking about?
Well, I'm down with one that was signed into the CARICOM thing in Jamaica. Right. And that is my greatest concern. You see, it all sounds well and good. Oh, we have people moving freely, blah, blah, blah. But there's much more to it. I'm sure there's much more to it.
So let me back up here a bit and try to walk through this, because while I understand some of what you're saying, I have often said that I do not believe that freedom of movement means freedom of entry. Okay, and I'll tell you why I say that. If you take it at a personal level, let's say you and I are brothers, right? I should be able to come to your home and say, brother, how are you? You should be able to come to my home and say, brother, how are you? But it does not mean that you should walk into my house, open my fridge, take out what you want, go upstairs and lie down on my bed, cross your foot, turn on my TV, and get up and leave when you feel like, because it's still my home.
Okay.
Right? So if you pass by me a Saturday and you say, brother, you can help me with a piece of bread, and I give you a piece of bread, and I don't invite you in, I don't expect you to rush past me and say, I's your brother, I want bread, I really want meat, fish, potatoes, and some gas as well, or take up my gang along with it, just because you're my brother. So, to me, freedom of movement does not mean freedom of entry. Freedom of movement should mean, I am not saying that it does, should mean that if you lay off, let's say, 300 workers from, I don't know, a ministry, pick a ministry, whichever one you want to, okay? You have 300 unemployed people. Let's say they're specialized in electronics. If Dominica needs people to help them with the electronics because of the hurricane, or Trinidad needs people to help them with the electronics because of the earthquake yesterday, those people could apply, and once they are qualified, they go, they work for 3 months, they work for 6 months, they work for a year, they send their money to Barbados so that when they come back, this is their home, they pay their mortgage, they pay their insurance, they pay their whatever. That is what it should mean. Because it means, therefore, you could find an opportunity to work for a period, do what you have to do, go back to where you come from once you satisfy the qualifications. But the problem is, when you say, I could go and I could walk into Barbados or St. Vincent and say, well, I ain't got nothing doing in Barbados, so I come to walk around and see what you got. That's counterproductive. And that's where your border security comes in, when they check to find out what you're here for, how long you're here for, and do you have money to support yourself?
But you know, you are on the ball.
So I try to be.
Let me put it this way.
Because I sit in this chair.
That is not exactly how it works.
Because how does it work, sir?
If you're up against what the requirements are for entry in the Barbados, that you can call a lawyer, you can call a family member, all these things.
And what will happen?
That will determine whether you are a fit candidate for refusal. And I guess it's a nightmare for the immigration officers who have to make a decision as to whether some person is eligible for entry or not. The immigration officer sitting at the airport, in my opinion, is a robot.
Right.
He's just skin his teeth in.
No, that's not true at all, sir. So you travel?
For me?
Uh-huh.
Why the question?
Because I have never met an immigration officer who is a robot yet, and I have traveled a lot.
Well, you see, no.
And I'm trying to find out where these robots are.
Wait, listen to me.
I listen carefully, sir. We're having a conversation.
No, wait, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that given we're speaking against what is required of him to allow somebody entry or not.
Sir, I have traveled extensively through the Caribbean, and I can tell you immigration officers are not robots. They ask questions.
You're missing the point.
What's the point, sir?
You're missing the point.
What is the point?
We were discussing what is required for entry into any Caribbean country.
Yes.
And I'm saying to you, I just made it clear to you that when somebody turns up at the airport,
mm-hmm.
what the questions that are asked,
mm-hmm.
and if the immigration officer is of the opinion
mm-hmm.
that person is not a candidate for entry,
mm-hmm.
he has to allow or she has to allow that person to call an attorney at law?
No, sir, they do not.
Hello?
No, they do not.
You telling me?
Yes, sir, I am. That's why I ask if you traveled. That's why I've asked you if you've traveled. Because they are not required to do that at all.
You are speaking of a position of fact or not?
I am speaking of a position of having traveled, sir, which is why I ask you again if you've traveled.
Well, I'm speaking from a position of fact.
What is the fact, sir? Based on what is the fact? Tell me the fact that it's based on.
I said to you that any person who turns up at the airport and is eligible, or the immigration office feel they're candidate for refusal,
mm-hmm.
that person has to allow that individual to call an attorney?
By order of what, sir?
Tell me what it's based on,
and I will keep quiet.
Well, that's the CARICOM arrangement.
It's not a CARICOM arrangement at all.
That's what
Tell me the CARICOM arrangement that is based on, sir.
But, you know, you don't seem to believe that I know what you're talking about.
So I want you to tell me and explain to the public that you know what you're talking about. Tell me which CARICOM arrangement it's based on.
Well, you next thing, you see an immigration officer, or you can take your telephone and call the airport.
That's your answer to it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I can tell you that.
Okay, sir. Then have a good day, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Let me apologize for the mic leak that occurred a short while ago. I am reading the page 7 of today's Nation that I was asked to do by someone who says I was wrong. I like to be told when I'm wrong so I can correct myself. The article that I'm reading on page 7 says, Barbados is opening its doors for Haitians and other Caribbean nationals to take advantage of the freedom of movement regimes established within CARICOM. The visa requirements for Haitians was abolished shortly after the Barbados Labour Party administration assumed office, and the CARICOM heads of government have since followed suit. Barbados' ambassador-designate to CARICOM, David Comejean, yesterday noted there were conditions attached. He pointed out that while Haitian nationals were entitled to an automatic stay of 6 months upon arrival in a CARICOM member state, they were also subject to the rights of any of those states to refuse entry to undesirable persons and to prevent them from becoming a charge on public funds. In the case of Barbados, he advised that under the revised Treaty of Chagaramas, there were only two reasons that nationals could be denied entry to Barbados. One was if they were carrying inadequate funds to support their stay here. And the second is where there is a serious likelihood that the person may be a threat to public safety, health, public order, public morality, national security. He noted that the heads of government had also put a common procedure in place to protect persons from being refused entry. It stipulated that the person must be fully informed of their rights by a senior immigration officer, must be given written reasons for the refusal, must be permitted to contact a family member, consular office, or attorney at law, quote, if they so desire. Now, how does that make an immigration officer a rubber stamp? Because if a person is likely to be a threat to public safety, health, public order, public morality, etc., or have inadequate funds, they can be denied entry. And therefore, if they do not have relatives, friends, money to hire an attorney, who are they going to call? Unless my mind is totally blown, which in some cases I assume it may be, I don't see how the two equate. Maybe it's my interpretation. And perhaps that's why law is open to interpretation and lawyers make money. Which is why I made the point to the gentleman that freedom of movement does not mean freedom of entry. And if I say you're my brother and pass by me for a loaf of bread, you can't walk inside my house and take what you want. That's exactly the point I was making. But, as I said, that's why we got lawyers, and that's why we got courts, and that's why we have CCJs and all up the line. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Ma'am, good morning to you.
I'd like to talk to something that happened Saturday night. Me and my husband and my little boy get attacked Saturday night, and they want the whole nation to hear what went on. Me was walking in the back road, and a young girl attacked me with a cutlass, just so, sir. I had to run. I run with a baby. I am pregnant, sir. And may I run, I had to hold my belly. Call the guard, tell me.
Ma'am, did you take this to the police?
Pardon?
Have you reported the matter to the police?
Sir, we went to the police. And the police ain't come. Me actually, me ain't district here. And the man come. The girl had a cutlass. My husband had to make to the hospital. The three fellas and a girl packed rocks at all 12 of me. And my little boy, I had to tell my little boy, run home. I'm pregnant with a young baby and me, and I had to hold my stomach to run home. So you think that's right?
Ma'am, ma'am, you said so already. Look, yesterday when you tried to do this story or tell us this story, you were obviously upset, and I asked you to settle yourself, and you've made it again today. Yesterday I got accused of cutting you off before you spoke and that you were distressed. You still sound distressed, and I think it is a matter for the police. And I would hope that you would make a report and they would take you seriously and they would investigate the matter. I don't think this program can help you with it. I'm sorry. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
How
are
you?
I'm good.
I want to say good morning to John, too.
He's smiling at you.
Mr. Johnson, me, you ain't got it. No. Right. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, Rosalind was talking to you. And I really know for you to give advice. You know, you do, you for your mouth. I don't wait to see it. Mr. Johnson, we out here listening for advice from you.
Advice on what, ma'am?
Like, if something gone wrong, you say, well, I can voice this is my opinion. We listen for it. Don't worry, they say, man, I can wait to say nothing. I can hold my peace. You don't have to please nobody up there. You have a job to do. Do it. That's the honest truth.
The reason why I said what I said at the time is because I have tried to be the voice. No, I've tried to be the voice of people with disabilities in Barbados because I have a disability and because I know I can speak clearly and because I know there are people with disabilities who, for whatever reason, either can't or won't. I was attacked on the program by someone with disabilities who said that they were the PRO and all I had to do is talk and I should shut up.
Thank you.
So,
thank
ma'am,
you.
It happened on this program.
I know it happened.
And ma'am, yes, you ever hear about being bitten by your own dog? I'm a human being, you know.
Of course.
I'm a human being.
But Johnson, this is what I'm telling you. Not that you give me bad advice. You see, when you say one and one is three, we put one and one together and make it two. But you know what he said is thanks. Because I hear callers come there and say, Mr. Johnson, like your friend, Nasser, when he come, he don't come and play around the bush. He comes straight and you would smile and you say, but you know this and you know that. If I come with a problem to you, Dennis, you would say, well, so-and-so is a case and I think this is my way. It left up to me. But you are giving me advice, so you're reading between the lines. That's how I look at it. Not that I have anything against what you, but I mean with the answer you want to give, you say, I don't worry with that. I got the next caller. Because I don't.
When the other lady with the problem of the buses parked on the sidewalk who was also disabled, didn't I go back to it? Because by then I had reasoned a way. Because by then I had reasoned a way to make an answer to the problem and also relate to Rosalind. I don't know why you're laughing at me, you know. Ma'am, I don't know why people believe that I am some machine that don't get hit. I get hit. And you know what? When people get hit, they just go home and get consoled. I just go in the corner and sit down and ponder. I take your point. No, I take your point. I take your point.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
If you come from my apple tree and steal my apples, mm-hmm. you won't expect one of these days somebody will go up on your tree and steal your apples? Mm-hmm. Have a good morning. Read between the lines because I'm waiting for an answer. Have a good morning.
Ma'am, they say what goes around comes around. If it happened to you, it can happen to me. Okay? 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning. Am I on the program?
Yes, you are.
Good morning, sir. I'm calling to address a few points. CSME in Barbados, it is not beneficial to us. As it stands right now, without the CSME, Barbados is flooded with foreigners working in Barbados illegally. If you doubt me, go to Oystens any night. It has been taken over by Jamaicans. You hear it, tell you? Particularly the stalls to the front of the road. Can't find a Bajan. Huh? And let me tell you something. I tell you what, you know. And a lot of them don't have $1,000 to go and get a work permit. And they're employed by Bajans to the detriment of other Bajans. That is the culture we live in. All right, good.
So how long has the assembly been in operation?
I can't. I know it's
so in, therefore, so therefore, so, but so therefore, CSME has been in operation for a long while. So I don't know why you're saying, you know, CSME will not operate in the interest of Barbados because it has been in operation for a while.
All right, no problem. Point taken.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't know in Barbados is the state of affairs in countries like Jamaica. People are suffering, cannot get a job. You don't hear anything about it in the news. But if you have contact with people in Jamaica, you will find out what is going on there. And that is the reason why they're so nomadic. They want to get out and get away from that environment, and particularly females. All right. Right now, they control nearly every red light district in Barbados. Every, what do you call these clubs now where the girls dance?
Strip clubs.
Right? Every strip club. And you want me to tell you something what has happened to at these strip clubs? A few months ago, they had a raid with part of the immigration court, 57 or something. They went to a particular strip club, and they didn't know that I had a switch at reception. That when you see police or immigration officers turn up, try to go in, they press this button, and the lights go off on stage, and that is the signal for the girls to run through and escape through a secret exit. So they could have had about 200. That night, they had 1057, but they were right on target, right? That's one point. Another situation is, now this is what happened to me, right? I went to immigration to report a situation where a woman came in here Wednesday afternoon, right? And I was the driver of the vehicle. I didn't know what was going on. They said, let me pass through town first. Go on in town. We'll go on and secure a job the same time straight from the airport. Proprietor and non-national. You understand? When they see this happening, I said, wait. Come straight from the airport and go on in Bridgetown to get a job and get the job. I was on the job for weeks. I took it upon myself to go and report the situation to the immigration department. Don't you know, when the immigration went to red, first of all, the writer said, she don't work with me. I just asked her to sit here until I come back. Right? Everybody that passes this area and patronizes businesses in that area. Oh, she was an employee. You understand? They accepted that. You understand? But you were a job. When I get home, my phone rang. And a relative of hers called me and tell me I went to immigration. How would they know that? Huh? This system is corrupt. I have never a situation where people openly target certain officers to get close with. You understand? This is personal thing. You understand? To try to work the way around the system. I know one that was here on vacation, and she was here illegal since 2014. Her national passport is expired. the plane and go back home. Still working. Got friends in these offices, immigration offices, and that sort of thing. You understand?
Why do people from the other islands get so many friends so quickly?
One, they're females. Two, a lot of them look real good. And
so you blame the females for that? You blame the females for that?
If I blame the females for that?
Mm-hmm.
You come to a country and violate their laws.
But I'm asking you how they get to violate it.
Because we allow them to come in.
Oh, there you go. Because we allow them to come in. Okay.
Right, yeah, so. But then they violate that by overstaying 4 years. You put on a vacation 4 years. I know of a situation.
But who lets it happen?
Say that again?
Who lets it happen? White people laugh when I ask questions. I sound stupid, right?
Who lets it happen? No, not at all, that is.
Oh, so why are you laughing? Let me ask you something. So let me say this. Eh? I could only explain my experiences.
Right.
So I left Barbados and I went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to Trinidad to do business. Trinidad, I have citizenship in Trinidad. Right? I worked and I lived in Trinidad. I went to school in Trinidad. I went to Trinidad on business on a non-Trinidad passport. When I got to the immigration office, a female immigration officer, nice looking one too, very pretty, smiled nicely at me. How long are you here for? For as long as I want. No, you can't stay as long as you want. How long are you here for? I said, for as long as I want. Looked at my passport and saw, born in one Caribbean country, reside in another, citizenship in a third, and said to me, oh, you're a foreigner, we're from home. I say, finally, somebody gets it. Now, my point is this.
Yeah.
I'm a citizen of Trinidad. It says so in the passport I was traveling on. But she asked me how long I'm here for. The problem is the port of entry. And she the nice looking, and I be flirting with her, but she didn't tell me, I find you cute, go on in. So why it is, we believe that because the woman look good, some fella can tell her galong. So why the women ain't look at me and find I look good and tell me galong? They are special breed of people? So,
because, you see.
No, I say that to be ridiculous, but hold on. I said that to be ridiculous, but the truth is. But the truth is, it comes down to your point of entry. If the people at your point of entry say you are here for this time, can you support yourself? Where are you staying? Check. And if we have ways of checking that after 6 months you're not here because your time has run out, then we're doing what we're supposed to do. So I see the reports in the newspaper too, you know. I remember there was a case in the newspaper where a gentleman was deported from Barbados for lewdly exposing himself, his person, on Accra Beach. 6 months later, the same man was in the same newspaper doing the same thing on Accra Beach again and before the courts. And when he asked how he get back here after being deported, he said he was on a boat and he jumped off and he swim. You believe that? I ask you, you're laughing again. You believe that? But it was in the newspaper. There's another case, a more serious case, where a gentleman in Barbados was killed by a woman.
Yeah.
She was brought up before the court, charged with the offense, and when they were checking a background check on her before being sentenced, they found out that she was in Barbados previously under another name, was arrested for prostitution, deported from Barbados, and returned to Barbados with another name and killed somebody in Barbados. Now, sir, if you have a system that works properly, that can't happen, should it? Should that happen? Good. So what we have to do is to make sure that, as happens in other Caribbean territories, for example, Jamaica complains that Trinidadians treat Jamaicans worse than they treat everybody in the Caribbean. They just have Venezuelans and Jamaicans lock up in a detention center and the conditions bad, but they're protecting their borders. And you could swim from Venezuela to Trinidad if you get past the sharks.
That's right.
you could take a Moses and go across the channel if you want to. And they do it all the time. So the problem is, how do we protect our borders? How do we protect our economy? How do we protect our people because of the restrictions that have been lifted, or the freedom of movement, or the treaties we signed? Because it cannot be come when you feel like, stay for as long as you feel like, and left when you feel like, whether you could support yourself or not. There has to be some mechanism that would stop the abuse of what you're talking about. But only we could enforce it?
That's true. I would like to make one final point, mm-hmm. very quick.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have worked in the general elections, the last 7 general elections,
mm-hmm.
right? And every general election, the workers that work, they are neglected, they are not paid in a proper time or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the last meeting, they told us, don't call us. We're going to work on you, and the checks will not be delayed for any long time. 6 weeks' time, you should have your check. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The 24th of May was the election. It's nearly the 24th of August.
Mm-hmm.
Not a check, not a word. And this happened in every administration in Barbados. And the workers, I believe, are fed up. I am one certainly fed up with this sort of treatment, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to make it public, because many of the workers don't want to voice opinion and just stay silent as a typical Bajan, timid.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot, sir. We say we don't want to be victimized, so we say nothing. That happens a lot. Thank you for your contribution, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks.